If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to John chapter 3. We have declared, really, better to say, we've recognized the truth, the simple reality, as it were, the way that it just is in our world and in our culture and even in our churches today. Christianity, true Christianity, is under attack. And the attack is the compromise of it. In some ways, I feel that really it's true. The compromise, it's from the beginning of Christianity all the way through to the end. Christianity begins at salvation. Today, the attack against that, the compromise of what it is to be truly saved, how one is saved, all the way to the end. We would think of it this way: Christianity ends in heaven. Today, the attack against that, the compromise of what heaven, what eternity will be like, and ultimately sort of back to salvation, how one's eternity is determined. Who exactly gets to go to heaven? From the beginning of Christianity all the way to its end, from the starting of it to the finish line of it, if you will, the attack against it, the compromise of it. Listen, you'd understand this morning, if we're sinners, and we are, needing salvation, and we do, listen, then we better get salvation right. If eternity is final, no do-over, no second chance, no making it right with God when we're standing before God. If eternity is final, and it is, and if eternity is forever, forever and ever and ever, and it is. And if eternity is heaven or hell, and it is, listen, then we better get eternity right. Do you understand the beginning, the salvation, the ending, the eternity, and everything in between? We better get Christianity right. Our series, The Truth, a biblical worldview, what the Bible says. Believing again what the Bible says. Christianity 101. Back to the basics, as it were. We've said it this way: the ABCs of Christianity. This morning it's the letter N, and our word will be the word new. It's that because new is the adjective that helps us understand the beginning, helps us understand the end, helps us understand everything in between. It's the word that helps us get Christianity right. Christianity at its beginning, its start, it's to be born again. Listen now, here it is. It's a new birth. In John 3 and verse 3, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." I know we're all different. I know we all don't talk the same. I know that we all don't necessarily know or speak the same Christian talk, if I can say it that way. I fully know and understand all of that. Still though, and I would say rightly so, I have a tendency to get very nervous when I hear people, when asked about their salvation, when I hear them give an answer that doesn't include this born again, this new birth. I've heard from people in the church, even in this church, "Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Tell me your salvation story." And it sounds like this: "Well, I've always gone to church. I was raised in church. My parents always took me to church. I'm Catholic. I'm Protestant. I'm Baptist. I'm Pentecostal. Well, I read the Bible. I love the Bible. I listen to the Christian radio. Enjoy worshiping. I pray. I know that's the answer. When I'm sick, when I need something, I know to pray. I know God can do. I know God can give whatever I need. Well, I've always been spiritual. I've always known about God. I've always believed God exists. I've always known God loved me, wanted me. I have always known that Jesus loved me, had better for me. I've always known that. This is what I hear. And I wait for more. I get very nervous when I don't hear anymore. John 3, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Listen, do you understand? If you want to be a part of his kingdom, and yes, that's for here and now, that's certainly to come, his kingdom that is heaven. If you want to see that, if you want to be a part of that, if you want to be there, you have to be born again. Listen, you cannot be saved apart from that. You do not have a salvation story if your story doesn't include you being born again, you having experienced the new birth. You're here this morning. I don't mean to sound rude or mean, that you grew up in church, that you're a spiritual person, that you believe in God, even that he loves you, that you've always believed that. Listen, that's great, I guess. But that's not how you're saved. That's not how you see the kingdom of God. If all you have for a salvation story is your church background, if all you have for your salvation story, your love of the Bible, your awareness of God, your understanding of God's love for you, even what Jesus did for you, if that's all you have, if you don't have a born again, new birth experience, you don't have a salvation story. You cannot enter heaven in the sinful condition of your first, your physical birth. Listen, you must be born again. You must experience a new birth. I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Jesus declared that in the middle of a conversation with a man named Nicodemus. His reply to what Jesus said, it's really our reply. It's maybe what some of us are thinking right now. How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked in verse 4. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. We maybe don't necessarily ask it the same way, but we ask the same question. I must experience a new birth. I must be born again. I can't just start going to church and really like it and call myself saved. I can't reference my parents, how they raised me, what church they went to, what church they took me to, what church I was baptized in. I can't mention a spirituality that I've always had. I can't bring up the good person that I've always been, always tried to be. I'm no murderer, for goodness sakes. I'm not an adulterer, a liar, a cheater, a thief. I'm a decent human being, but all of a sudden, in light of what Jesus says, that doesn't matter. My resume of good works, pointless to bring up. I can't talk about my Bible reading. Oh, I just love the Bible, love studying the Bible. I can't talk about how I feel so peaceful and uplifted and encouraged whenever I read the Bible. I can't make mention of my prayer life. I always talk to God. I just love talking to Jesus. Listen, it's not any of that. I must experience a new birth. I must be born again. So the question, Nicodemus asked it, and so do we. How does that happen? How am I born again? How do I experience this new birth? Verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You didn't need me emphasizing. You're reading it. You see it. You hear it. How is one born again? How does one experience this new birth? It's the amazing simplicity of salvation by simply believing in Jesus. That's how. That Jesus, he is who he said he is, that he is the Savior that you, a sinner, so desperately need. Years ago, when the Betty Crocker Company first began selling their cake mixes, they offered a product that only required water. All you had to do was add water to the box mix, and you would get a perfect, delicious Betty Crocker cake every time. It bombed. No one bought it. The company couldn't understand why. So they commissioned a study which brought back a surprising answer. It seemed that people were not buying the cake mix because it was too easy. They didn't want to be totally excluded from the work of preparing a cake. They wanted to feel that they were contributing something to it. So Betty Crocker changed the formula and required the customer to add an egg and oil in addition to the water. Immediately, the new cake mix was a huge success. Listen, the attack against Christianity, the compromise of it, too many people wanting to add the egg and the oil. Listen, my friend, stop with the egg and the oil. Just believe. One says this, how does the thief on the cross fit into your Christian belief system? No baptism, no communion, no confirmation, no missions trip, no volunteering, no church clothes. He didn't even bend his knees to pray, and he didn't even say the sinner's prayer. Among all other things, he was a thief. Listen, a thief walked into heaven the same hour as Jesus, simply by believing. There was no spin from a brilliant preacher. There was no ego, no arrogance, no shiny lights, no crafty words. There was no coffee or donuts in the lobby. It was just a naked man on a cross, unable even to fold his hands to pray. He had nothing more to offer than his belief that Jesus was who he said he was. And that was enough. In fact, not that it was just enough. It was exactly what was needed. The only thing that was needed. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, unless they experience the new birth. And no one can do that unless they believe in and on Jesus. Listen, this is your answer. Are you saved? Yes. Yes, I am. Tell me your salvation story. I've been born again. I've experienced the new birth. I've believed in Jesus, that he is who he said he is. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the only way to get to heaven. He is the only way to get to the Father. I could tell you about the church I was baptized in. I could tell you about how I was raised Catholic or Protestant or Baptist or Pentecostal. I could tell you what I've always believed. I could tell you how I always knew God was out there somewhere. But listen, none of that matters. That's not my salvation story. My salvation story is this. Jesus, he is my Savior. I'm a sinner. Rather to say, I was a sinner. I turned to him. I asked him to save me from my sin. And because he's the Savior, it's exactly what he did for me. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. unless they experience the new birth, and no one can do that unless they believe in and on Jesus. Listen, my friend, if you're here today and you've not been born again, you've not experienced the new birth, very specific this morning. I believe it very clearly defined for us as the word of the Lord for us. It's for you that are in the church this morning. Listen. And we're here last Sunday morning, and the Sunday morning before that, and the Sunday morning before that, and even all the Sundays of last year. It's for you that are here every Sunday and Wednesday and Monday food distribution and any and every other day the church doors are open. Listen to me this morning. Listen to the word of the Lord this morning. No matter your church attendance, no matter your Bible reading, no matter your knowledge of God, no matter your good works, listen, with all due respect, no matter what you say or what you think, if you're here and you've not been born again, you've not experienced a new birth, then you're not saved. You're not a Christian. You maybe thought you were, but you're not. You maybe told yourself you were. Look at all the good I do after all. Look at how often I'm in church after all. You convinced yourself you were a Christian. You sold yourself a bill of goods. You're not. You're not saved. You're not in His kingdom. Apart from being born again, apart from experiencing the new birth, you won't see His kingdom. The Christian traditions, the church connection, Catholic and Baptist, all the bad you don't do, all the good you constantly do, your awareness of spiritual reality, God and the devil, heaven and hell, none of those things result in new birth. And you cannot enter heaven in the sinful condition of your first physical birth. You have to be born again. You have to experience new birth. And for that, you have to believe in Jesus. So listen, today, everyone in the room, please hear the preacher this morning. Believe in Jesus. Be born again. Experience new birth today. One says this, why you want to be born again? Because God loves you. Because Christ died for you. Listen, because Satan wants you. Judgment awaits you. Hell faces you. But heaven is calling for you. Another says it like this, why you want to be born again? Being born again means that every sin is forgiven. That's why you want to be born again. It means Jesus lives in you through the Holy Spirit to give you peace, power, and purpose. That's why you want to be born again. It means you are not afraid of death because you know you are going home to heaven when you die. Oh, you know it. Listen, that's why you want to be born again. Christianity, the beginning, the start, the only way it begins, the only place it starts, it's to be born again. It's the new birth. Second this morning, it's a new life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in a newness of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, behold, the new has come. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. The beginning, it's the new birth. We'll get to the end, the finish in a minute. Here, though, the middle, the life lived from the start all the way to the end. Listen, it's a new life. By way of a new birth, you've been changed. You've been transformed. You're not who you used to be, no longer who you once were. You were in the dark and darkness, but not anymore. Now you are light in the Lord. You are a new creation. Now you live, you walk in a newness of life. Listen, this is the truth of the new birth. And maybe even we could say it this way, this also is the test of it. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 16, can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. In the context of our message this morning, can I explain the words of Jesus this way? Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Yes, yes, I am. And my salvation story has nothing to do with good works. The good outweighing the bad has nothing to do with who my folks were, who my friends are, has nothing to do with my love for the church. Oh, I just love the church. I'm always at the church. My faithful attendance, my faithful and generous giving to the church. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with the Bible reading. It has nothing to do with my belief in prayer. It has nothing to do with my knowledge of God, His existence, a heaven, a hell. No, no way. My salvation story, I've believed in Jesus, who He says He is, who He says He'll be for me, all He says He'll do for me, because I believe in Him. I believe in Jesus. I've been born again. I've experienced the new birth. That's great. Those are the right words. That is the correct, the good way to answer the salvation question. But now Matthew 7, it's not just your good words, it's your good works. It's the fruit of your life. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Matthew 7, don't just say the right things. Show the right things. I've heard from people in the church, even in this church. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Tell me your salvation story. Hear about the family, church they were raised in, where they were baptized, about how they've always thought, spiritual awareness they've always had, the good they do, the church they currently attend, how often they read the Bible, how often they pray, how often they help people, how kind they are. That's what I hear. I wait for more. I get very nervous when the more doesn't come. I've heard from people, and I've seen people in the church, even in this church. Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Matthew 7, show me. But there's nothing to show. They were in the dark and darkness before, doing the dark and darkness things. They still are. No new has come. Instead, the old still remains. They claim a new birth, but there's no newness of life. Do you understand? Listen, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again, unless they experience the new birth. And no one can do that unless they believe in and on Jesus. And listen still, a new birth results in a new life. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. A bad tree can't bear good fruit. Grapes don't grow on thorn bushes. Figs on thistles don't either. It's by the fruit that you know what kind of tree it is. Listen, it's by the new life, the newness of life, that you can know the new birth that you've experienced. The question I've asked all morning, let me ask it again this way now. You're saved. You're a Christian. You've been born again. You've experienced the new birth. So then, where's the fruit? Romans chapter 6, we read it just a moment ago. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can one who died to sin still live in it? That's the fruit. That's the good fruit from the good tree. That's the newness of life. we don't continue in sin. We don't continue to live in it. Listen, my friend, you've been born again. You've experienced a new birth. Yet your life is unchanged. You live still in sin. You continue on in the same old sinful life and sinful ways. What? Don't you know that you've died to that? Don't you know it's a newness of life for you? Listen, live in the newness of life. Stop continuing. Stop living in the sin. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, you're a new creation. The old's gone. The new's come. That's the fruit, the good fruit from the good tree. That's the newness of life. Listen, let the old be gone. That talk, come on, you know it now. That's the old talk. You were dead in the dark. Now you're alive in the light. Why are you talking like you're still in the dark? That's the old talk. Let it go. That living, that's the old living. Why are you living in the light like you lived in the dark? That doesn't add up. That doesn't make sense. Let it go. That attitude, come on now. That attitude, that's the old attitude. That's the old man. That's the sinful man. That's the dark and the darkness coming out of you. Let it go. In Ephesians, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. That's the fruit. The good fruit from the good tree. That's the newness of life. Whatever is good, whatever is righteous, whatever is true, whatever it is that pleases the Lord, that's it. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit. Give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The deeds of darkness, foolish and unwise, wasted time, wasted opportunity. Wasted life, drunkenness, debauchery, mumbling and grumbling, constant complaint, indifferent, ungrateful, never saying thank you to God, resisting, fighting one another, always elbowing your way to the front, pushing your agenda so that you always get what you want as if you were the only one that mattered. Listen, that's not how we live anymore. It's how we used to live. Because that's the dark and the darkness, and we used to live in the dark and the darkness, but not anymore. We are light in the Lord, and so then we live as children of light. Listen, we have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. That's the fruit, the good fruit from the good tree. That's the newness of life. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. Remove it from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Over all these virtues, put on love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Listen, putting to death whatever belongs to the earthly nature, the immorality, the impurity, the lust, the evil desires, the greed, the anger, the rage, the malice, the slander, the filthy talk, the lying. putting that all to death. That's the fruit. The good fruit from the good tree. That's the newness of life. Not just all that we put to death, but all that we would be clothed with as well. Compassion, kindness, humility and gentleness, patience, bear with one another, forgive one another, love one another, teach and admonish one another. That's the fruit, the good fruit from the good tree. That's the newness of life. Ephesians 4, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, to be made new, put on the new self, created to be like God. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who's been stealing must steal no longer, must work, do something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Get rid of bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every other form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. No foothold for the devil. No stealing. Of course not. We don't steal. We share. We don't take. We give. No unwholesome talk. No words of death. Only those of life. Always and only what's helpful and useful. What builds up. Never what tears down. We get rid of any and everything that would grieve the Spirit. We treat others as God has treated us. Listen, that's the fruit. The good fruit from the good tree. That's the newness of life. Holiness and righteousness. Romans chapter 10, we believe in Jesus and we confess him Lord of our lives. We don't live in a day of ladies and lords anymore, so the term maybe needs explanation for us. Listen, as Lord, he is the one who has authority. All authority. He has control. He has power. All power over your life. He's the master of your life. He's the chief. He's the ruler over everything that is your life. Lordship. Living in and under his lordship. That's the fruit. The good fruit from the good tree. That's the newness of life. Implied in that is obedience. In John 15 and 14, if you love me, you will obey my commands. I want to ask the question this way. What if the Bible says something that contradicts your lifestyle, behavior, or opinion? What if the Bible tells you you ought to do something you don't want to do? What if the Bible tells you you ought not to do something you want to do, you are doing? Who wins that disagreement? Be careful. Your pastor listens to you. Your pastor hears when you say, I know what the Bible says, but I know who wins that argument. I know who does. I know the Bible says I'm supposed to forgive my enemy, Pastor, but I know who's won the argument. You've won the argument. I know the Bible says, watch out now, we're going back. I know the Bible says I'm a thief if I take the 10% that belongs to God. But Pastor, I know who's won the argument. I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I get what you're putting down. Who wins the argument? Do you understand? Listen, the good fruit from the good tree, the newness of life. Listen, the Bible wins every single time. I obey God's word. Submission, surrender, and sacrifice. One missionary tells his story when he was just 12. A missionary came to his dad's church. When the ushers collected the offering, he wanted to give. He wanted desperately to give, but he had nothing. So this 12-year-old boy, when the offering plate came by, he put it on the floor and he stepped in it. He had nothing of possession to give, so he gave himself. Last Sunday, you were challenged. God's money, the tithe, the tenth, the 10% that's not yours, we were challenged. That belongs to Him. It needs to be given to Him. Listen, full disclosure, that was the easy message. I hope you got it. You better have got it, because this Sunday, it's even more. It's not just your money that belongs in the offering plate. It's you, my friend. In the absolute surrender and sacrifice of your life to the Lord. Listen, don't neglect. Listen, don't steal from God. The 10% belongs to Him. It belongs in the plate. But listen, this morning, so do you. In view of God's mercy, you're to offer to Him your life. A living sacrifice. Listen, my friend, not your Sunday morning, 10:30 to noon. That's not what the Bible says. That's not a biblical worldview. That's not the truth. That's not Christianity 101. You live your life Sunday, 10:30 to noon, and 1:30 to 3, and Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and every single day, every moment, every hour of it, you live your life a living sacrifice to Him. That's the real worship, by the way. Do you understand this morning? Submitted fully and completely to Him, surrendered all to Him, surrendered. A living sacrifice. You in the offering plate, that's the good fruit. Do you understand this morning? Do you hear the pastor this morning? That's the good fruit. That's the good fruit from the good tree. That's the newness of life. A devotion and dedication to the Lord. The song actually originated in India. There was a great revival in Wales. As a result of that revival, missionaries were sent out. Many went to the northeast region of India to share and to spread the gospel. The region known as Assam was comprised of hundreds of tribes. They were primitive, aggressive. They were headhunters. Into this region, into this community, the Garo tribe came one missionary, William Cohen. He was not welcome. Endured severe persecution. Finally, though, a husband, his wife, their two children professed faith in Christ and were baptized. And this man's faith, his family's faith, proved contagious, and many more villagers began to accept Christianity. The village chief was angry, having none of it. So he summoned all the villagers. He then called the family who had first converted. Renounce your faith in front of the village or face execution. The man would not. The chief ordered his archers to arrow down the two children. As his children lay dying, will you recant? Will you reject your faith in Jesus now? I will not. The chief, filled with fury, ordered his wife's execution as well. She joined her children in death. One last time. You have lost your wife. You've lost your children. All because of your faith in Jesus. Won't you reject Him now? The man replied, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. No turning back. Amazingly, the chief was moved by the man's faith. Why would a man, his wife, their children, why would they die for a man who lived in a faraway land some 2,000 years ago? There must be something remarkable about this man, this family's faith. I want that faith. The chief did it. He declared, I too belong to Jesus. When they heard it from their chief, the whole village accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And still to this day, the words of Naksang, a Garo tribesman from Assam, India, still to this day, his words are the song of the Garo people. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Listen, you know it. That dedication, that devotion, that though none go with me, the world behind me, the cross before me, that no turning back kind of dedication, that I have decided to follow Jesus, dedication and devotion. Listen, you know it, that's the good fruit. That's the good fruit from the good tree. That's the newness of life. Joy and peace, comfort and strength, power. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. We regard no one from a worldly point of view. We once regarded Christ this way, no longer. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, new creation, old God, new come. All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. His ambassador, ministers of reconciliation. That's the good fruit. The good fruit from the good tree, the newness of life. One says it this way: every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. Can I encourage you this morning? Listen, engage people. Let me help you. First, just this, just notice people. See people. The lady at the cash register. The one who brings you your food. Just notice them. What their name is. What's their demeanor? Notice people. Your neighbor. Your colleague at work. Engage them. Ask questions. Wow, you look happy today. What's going on? Wow, you did such a phenomenal job serving us. How long have you been doing this? Where are you from? How are you doing today? Finally, find a way to bring God into the conversation. Maybe the best way, the easiest way. Hey, we're about to go. But before we do, can we just pray with you real quick? Listen, ministering to people, helping, reaching out, sharing, doing for others, speaking words of life and encouragement and comfort, praying, sharing Jesus. I know you don't like the word. I know it makes you nervous. But like it or not, you are an evangelist. You are to go, and as you go, you are to proclaim the good news. You are to be a minister of reconciliation to your family, your friends, your neighbor, your colleague at work, whoever you encounter. Your ministry message: be reconciled to God. Listen, that's the good fruit. The good fruit from the good tree, the newness of life. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, anyone who says he's a Christian should live as Christ did. That's it. The new life that results from the new birth. All that we've just said, we'd summarize it this way. Listen, be like Jesus. Listen, you be like Jesus, and all over in your life will be the good fruit. The newness of life. The new life, that's a lot. Maybe in some ways it sounds impossible. Maybe in some ways you're inclined to give up before you even begin. No way. No way can I do all that. Before we leave this, can I just remind you? Oh, but my brother, my sister, listen, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the grave lives inside you. That same spirit, that resurrection power, it's in you. It's at your disposal, if you will. And so then the new life, listen, it's a lot. Impossible, though? No. No way. Listen, my brother, my sister, you can do all things through him who strengthens you. Listen, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, his divine power, not you. Not you have to have the power. His divine power, it gives to you, it provides for you all you need to live in this newness of life. A new birth, a new life, and we finish this morning, it's a new destiny. It's a new destiny for you. It's a new destiny for your family. You change the destiny of your family when you give your heart to the Lord. Mom, you've changed the destiny of your family. Dad, all of a sudden your home became a Christian home. Your children are going to be raised in the things of God. They're going to want to serve Jesus because they see you serving Jesus. You've changed the destiny of your home. God's done it by way of saving you. He's changed their destiny. He's changed yours. He's changed your destiny. He's changed your destination. In November of 1975, 75 inmates at the Saltillo prison in northern Mexico began digging a secret tunnel that they hoped would lead them to freedom. April 18th, 1976, The tunnel finished, the 75 men entered it. But instead of emerging on a quiet street somewhere in the city, they tunneled up into the floor of a nearby courtroom. It was, in fact, the very same courtroom from which many had received their prison sentence. The surprised judges who were working at the time and officials found themselves staring at 75 escaping convicts surfacing from the floor, one after the other. The audacious plan failed immediately. All 75 of the would-be escapees were returned. One shares that story under the title of This Simple Truth: You Better Know Where You're Going. That's true in life-related things, isn't it? Especially we would think of it in the context of travel. Get in your car to go somewhere, even get out of your car, go walking somewhere, especially an unfamiliar somewhere, you better know where you're going. Last October, we were in Grand Rapids for my cousin's wedding. Having a part in the wedding, Jenny and I were at rehearsal. Jenny's mom decided to come get the girls, take them to dinner. During our rehearsal dinner, we get a call from the girls. They had eaten. Grandma had dropped them off at the hotel. Grandma had left them outside the hotel. The girls had gone in, made direct eye contact with the front desk worker, gotten on the sketchy elevator to go up to the room, gone to the room, attempted to use their key to open the door, heard voices from the room that was supposed to be their room, their empty room, all that before they realized this was the wrong hotel. You better know where you're going. You better know how to get there, lest you end up taking a selfie outside a hotel that is not yours. You better know. It's true, related in all things in this life. It's even more true for the life to come, for eternity. You better know where you're going. Better know how to get there. Listen, it's true. Way too many people today are trying to get to heaven by digging their own tunnels. They're going to dig, and they're going to dig, and they're going to do, and they're going to do, and ultimately, they're going to end up before the judge, still guilty, still a prisoner in their sin, still sentenced to punishment. Way too many people thinking they're on their way to the right hotel, have a room reserved and waiting for them in the right place, only when it's too late to finally then realize they didn't know where they were going. They were following the wrong directions to the wrong place. Listen, my friend, eternity, heaven or hell, listen, you better get that right. You better be sure of that. You better know where you're going and how to get there, because after all, as one pastor says it, eternity is too long to be wrong. The good news, better than the old school atlas map books, the impossible to correctly refold paper maps, better than your phone, Apple Maps or Google Maps or any other navigational app, better than any of it, we have God's own word. God's word that will give you the turn-by-turn directions, if you will, to ensure that not only do you know where you're going, but you know exactly how to get where you want to go as well. The result of our sin nature, we were headed to where we didn't want to be. Death, hell, eternal judgment, eternal damnation. That was our destiny, and there was no changing that. Oh, but then the greatest 25 words ever written or spoken: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Do you understand? The new birth, the new life, that's how you know where you're going. That's how you know exactly how to get where you want to go. That's how your destiny and your destination is changed. That's the only way. The world criticizes Christianity for endorsing only one way to heaven. Listen, truth be told, but it's not Christianity, it's Jesus. It's what Jesus says. And truth be told, our response, the world response, shouldn't it be, but aren't you glad there's at least one way? Who are we? Who do we think we are to demand that one way is not good enough? Have we forgotten who the sinner is and who the Savior is? We're residents of a burning building, being shown the way out, being shown the exit, the way to salvation and life. Instead of rushing through it, we're staying put. Only one exit? I don't know if I like that. I don't think that's very fair. The fire burning all around us. Instead of running through the exit door, we're stubbornly standing still, demanding. That's not fair. That's not right. There needs to be 2, 3, 4, 5, 100 more exits. Then that will be a good thing. How absurd, how foolish humanity has proven to be in God's salvation plan for us. No one can see the kingdom of God except that they be born again, except by way of the new birth. It's the only way. But by that way, we can know where we're going. We can know how to get there. It's the only way. But by that way, everything changes. From death, from hell, from damnation and punishment, we get life. Listen, an eternal, forever and ever and ever and ever home in heaven. Sunday, June 18th, 2023, the Ocean Gate Titan, with its 5 passengers, having paid as much as $250,000 for a seat, some 370 miles off the coast of Newfoundland, began its descent 2.5 miles below the ocean surface to make its underwater tour of the Titanic. 1 hour and 45 minutes into that descent, communications with the Titan were lost. Do you remember it? And the countdown began. The Titan was equipped with a 96-hour air supply. That's all the time the rescuers had. It was all we saw in the news for the near entirety of the 96 hours. Time's running out. They've got to find them. They've got to get to them soon. The air's going to be gone. It's been 24 hours. It's been 48 hours. It's been 72. They've got to find them soon. They won't make it if they don't. The air will be gone. They'll die. Listen, the moment you were born, the clock started ticking. And you started dying. It's not 96 hours. It's 70, 80, 90 years. But listen, it's still a race against time. One day, the time will run out. Listen, oh, but there's good news this morning. Heaven has initiated a rescue plan for you. Hallelujah. God sent His only begotten Son to come into the mucky and murky, sin-stricken waters you were drowning in. Sent Him to rescue you. Listen, so that by Him, by the new birth, living the new life, you can be saved. Immediately after the disaster of the sinking of the Titanic, on April 15th, 1912, many newspapers begin to report on the passengers. There were only 2 columns, the saved and the lost. And listen, those 2 columns still exist today. So my friend, the question this morning, in which column is your name? The saved, are you sure? It's only the new birth that puts your name there. Have you been born again? The test, are you living the new life? Which column, the saved or maybe the lost? If so, oh, you have to hear the good news this morning. Your name doesn't have to be there anymore. Today, you can be born again. Today, you can experience the new birth. You can be saved. You can live for all eternity in heaven with the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of this people this morning. I believe the message is very much on purpose. I believe the message is a timely one. Right here, right now, for this people. Lord, first I pray for the one who just as plain as can be, the very, very simple truth. They know it. They've never been born again. They didn't even know the term existed. They've never experienced a new birth. they've barely given you a second thought. They've been living their life, doing their thing, clueless to eternity, a heaven, a hell, clueless to a God that so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son. They just didn't know. They weren't aware. Maybe they were. Maybe they heard it at one time. They thought it was nonsense. They thought it was what some people needed. It was the crutch for some people to help them get through life. They didn't realize the truth. They didn't recognize what it really is. They know it just as plain as day. They would recognize it. They would admit it. I'm not saved. I'm not. I've not been born again. I've not experienced new birth. Oh, Lord, would you remind them? But God so loved the world that He sent Jesus, that today they could believe in Jesus. They could be born again, experience new birth, and they could have eternal life because of that. I pray for them. Lord, I pray for the one that's maybe this morning a little shock to their system because they're calculating in their mind, when was I ever born again? I remember being baptized in that church way back in the day. I remember growing up Catholic. I remember always going to the Mass. I remember Christmas. I remember Easter. I remember when I started coming to this church. Oh, I love the church. I remember when I started reading the Bible. I remember all the times the Bible verses just brought life to my heart, joy to my soul. But they're thinking, but when was I ever born again? When was there ever a moment where I said, I do believe in Jesus. I do believe that He is who He says He is. Lord, I pray for them this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed in this room. Mine as well. I want you to have the privacy of this moment. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray like every hand in the place went up. But I'm going to invite you this morning. If you recognize it in your heart, there's a prompting by the Spirit of the Lord. You need to be born again. You need to experience new birth. Would you lift your hands? Just lift a hand. I'm not looking. I can't see your hand. Nobody can. But the Lord's going to see it. This is going to be our act of faith. I'm not going to call you to the altar this morning. We are going to pray in a minute. I'm just going to invite you to lift your hand. This is your act of surrender. This is your act of response. You just lift your hand. Again, I'm praying. I'm going to pray like every hand's lifted, so it doesn't matter. One or 20 or 30, it doesn't matter. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but I want to invite you. You, listen, you sense it in your spirit. You need to experience the new birth. I want to invite you to lift your hand. Listen, can all of us in this room, you don't have to pray it out loud. I don't care if you pray it out loud. But you, would you just pray this prayer? Would you just turn to Jesus, accept Him, be born again? Listen, be born again all over again. How about that? Would you just pray it like this? Jesus, I believe in You. You are who You said You are. And help me to live the new life. And thank You for a new destiny. And that's it. That's it. Jesus, thank You. Thank You. I'm going to believe it, Lord. I'm going to believe it. Hands lifted in this room. I'm going to believe it. Some that never had a doubt they weren't saved come in this morning and their heart's been given to You. There's a new name written down in glory this morning. I'm believing it. Hallelujah. And Lord, for my friend that's maybe been here many a Sunday, maybe for many a year, that this morning all of a sudden realized, I need to be born again. I need to experience the new birth. Lord, I thank You for what You've done in their heart. I thank You for how You've touched them this morning. I thank you that there's a new name, hallelujah, written down in glory. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Just before I pray the blessing of the Lord over you, would you lift your hands to heaven? Would you thank him for the new birth? Would you thank him for the way of escape? Would you thank him this morning? How about, would you just testify, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he is the Son of God. I believe that he died at Calvary. I believe he rose again. I believe that he's the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that he's my Savior, my Lord, my soon coming King. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We believe in you, Lord. We believe in you. Come on, ask him to help you to live the new life. Come on, some of you in the room, you recognize, I have been born again. I have experienced new birth, but I don't do so good in the new life. My talk, my old talk flares up too often. My old attitude comes to life all too often inside of me. Come on, ask the Spirit of the Lord to help you. Come on, pray that resurrection power be manifested in your life. That you be more and more and more like Jesus. Help us, Lord, I pray. Help us, Lord, I pray. Come on and thank him for heaven. Listen, my brother, my sister, your King is coming soon. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, my brother, let me say it again. You keep your head up. You don't give up. You keep celebrating because Jesus is coming back. And he's going to usher you to the gates of glory to be forever and ever in his presence in heaven. Hallelujah. We thank you for that. Thank you for the new destiny that is ours. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Now lift your hands and receive his blessing. As under shepherd of the great shepherd, high priest of this assembly, I declare over you the word and the will of the Lord that you as people be blessed. Blessed. Listen, you should have been blessed in your coming. You're going to be blessed in your going. I know that for a fact. Listen now. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be good and gracious to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name. Would you receive that? Would you say amen? Amen and amen. God bless you this morning.